Rosalie loved her grandpa. Her grandpa told the most wonderful stories, and he did all kinds of fun things. And from the time he got home from work until it was time for bed, Rosalie followed her grandpa around everywhere. Now, he was a very good man, but there was one thing that a bad habit he had that was really an awful habit, an icky habit. He chewed tobacco. And when you chew tobacco, you don't swallow it. You spit it out into a can. Isn't that icky? Ugh. That was awful. But 4-year-old Rosalie thought everything her grandfather did was wonderful. And the Applejack chewing tobacco that he had, it smelled good to Rosalie. And one day when Grandpa was at work, Rosalie snuck into Grandpa's room and she opened the drawer to his desk and she pulled out his chewing tobacco. And she smelled it. Oh, it smelled so good. And she took a bite. Well, it didn't taste as good as it smelled. It was horrible. And Rosalie, she made a terrible face and she spit it out. But it made her stomach so sick, she felt terrible. Her head didn't feel good. Her stomach didn't feel good. Now, instead of going to Grandma like Rosalie should have, Rosalie hid under the big old dining room table. And she just was a miserable little heap under that dining room table. She was so sick, but she wouldn't come out from under the dining room table. Now, I think Rosalie's grandma probably found where she had spit the chewing tobacco out, because Grandma used to stay in the kitchen most of the day. But that day, she kept walking through the dining room, and then she'd walk back. And I think that Grandma was hoping that Rosalie would come out and say, "Oh, Grandma, I did a terrible thing. Would you forgive me? And would you help me? I'm so sick." But Rosalie didn't. Now, that was pretty foolish, Rosalie, wasn't it? Well, you know, we all get sick with sin sometimes. We do things we shouldn't. And there's somebody who wants us to come to him and tell him how sorry we are so he can help us. Who do you think that is? Jesus, that's right. So, you know, in the Bible it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are willing to forgive our sins. Help us always to come to you and not to hide under the table like Rosalie did. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. May and my wife, we were looking at the pictures of the hurricane or the storm that was brewing, Michael, in Florida. But at the same time, we had been presenting some prayer requests to God. We looked at ourselves, we looked at our little problem that we had, and then we think about people who are in the thick of all this rain, hurricane, or whatever turmoil is going on in the world. But still, in the middle of all that, God answered our prayer. And as I'm sure, He's still answering prayer for people who are in the thick of the midst, in those rains, in those troubles that He's going through. None of it got God by surprise at all. That's the kind of God that we are living and we are serving for. It is now time for our morning prayer. I would like to invite you if you have any prayer requests. Any kind of prayer requests, come forward, please. If you have filled out the blue cards, if you haven't filled out the blue cards and you know you have a need, this is the time that we come and expect a blessing, and we will get a blessing. Down at your feet, and anytime I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you.
Right now there is an annual council going on for the Seventh Adventist Church leaders. They have met in Battle Creek, Michigan. And this is a very important time in our church's history. Decisions will be made that can be far-reaching, and so we will keep that counsel in prayer as well.
Let us pray. Our kind and loving Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to be called your sons and daughters. We come before you knowing that you are God. We come before you, Father, thanking you, and we want to glorify you and magnify your name. Father in heaven, there's nothing that gets you by surprise, and for that we are thankful. We are thankful because, Father, you are our God, like I said. I want to thank you for this Sabbath day. It is a high Sabbath. Father, teach us to keep knowing that this is the day that you made for us. We ask for your Spirit, Father, to be poured amongst us here in our church in a special way. We want to lift up our pastor, Pastor Draghi. May you be with him. Use him as a vessel, Father, and speak through him the words that the people need to hear to get that refreshment, Father. We also ask for your Spirit in a really special way, Father, for the highest office is meeting in Battle Creek. This is not small matters, Father. This is the highest office in the land. Send your Spirit, Father. Be with each and every member in there, each and every decision that is being made, Father. May it bring glory to you, Father. We are not perfect, and you have told us that we are nothing but dust. And for that, we want to put each and everyone's sin onto your hands, Father. We are weak vessels, and we ask, Father, that you do in us what that we cannot do for ourselves, Father. And that is, give us that victory over sin. Father, there's people amongst us here that are sick. There's people who have lost their loved ones. There's people who are battling different things. We have people who have loved ones in jail. We have people who have loved ones who are not coming to church. We have people who have loved ones, Father, who have just fallen from the church, and one way or one reason or the other, they have gotten lost. We ask you, Father, to do a good job because you're the author and finisher of our faith. And we want to claim that promise, Father, because we know you are mighty and faithful and just, Father. We ask for your Spirit, Father. for the young man Dixon who has been ordained. I want to second each and every prayer, Father, that has been already presented, because we know you hear each and every prayer. There's not even one prayer that you don't listen to, Father. But because of your wisdom, because of your infinite mercies, we ask them to go according to your will, Father. In my hands, I have blue cards. And in front of me and in front of the church, Father, there's people who have come here who have burdens, Father. Look at each and every one. We thank you and we love you, Father, because you answer each and every prayer according to your will. And it's going to work because of the good, Father. Be with us. Be with our thoughts. Be with our minds and our conversations throughout this holy day, Father. May it be about you and about your business, Father. And if we haven't gotten there yet, Father, continue working and teaching us how we can know how to love you and to serve you better. In everything, Father, we know how important it is to serve, but teach us how to love. Teach us how to love one another. I want to thank you for everything again. Be with us. In Jesus' name, we do pray and believe. Amen.
If you've been following in your bulletin, it's now the call for the offering. There's a little thing here I was going to read, but I'm feeling more impressed to read this. So a little bit lengthy, but I think it's very good. It's from a time in our church history. Considering what's going on today in our church, I think it's very similar. In 1888, she had this to say in the writings at this time. She said, "The work of every ambassador of Christ is to bear witness to the light. He is not to take Christ's place, but to reveal Christ to the world, to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has sent His ministers out as His standard bearers. They are to point to Jesus, who taketh away the sin of the world. They are not to awaken the sympathy of the people for themselves, but to carry their sympathies above themselves to the precious object of their praise and reverence, that they may lead the people to love Christ and Him crucified. If through the grace of Christ you have caught some beams of the light of truth, as it is in Jesus, do not place yourself upon the pinnacle. Do not think that you have caught all the rays of light, that there is no increased illumination to come to our world. We are to be constantly receiving and giving. We are the living channels of light. The transforming grace of Christ must come to every minister, that he may sanctify himself, that others also may be sanctified. There should be earnest effort put forth to wake up an ease-loving, sleepy church that has great light and knowledge, but not corresponding faith and works. There must be a living testimony born, pointing out the necessity of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God upon every church member, that light may shine forth to others that are in darkness. There is altogether too little done in ministerial labors. There is plenty of surface plowing, and the result is manifest. There is scarcity of fruit-bearing Christians." Now, what I was about to read here is a wonderful account of someone giving tithe. and offerings and them being blessed. And Pastor and many people have preached to us many ways of how we can help out the church financially through the world budget, through the church budget. But today, if the Lord is convicting your heart, if the Lord has blessed you, then it is time to bless others in this time of the offering. May the deacons come forward. Dear Father, forgive us for our unfaithfulness. Forgive us for being bad stewards with our money. Lord, forgive us for not returning tithe and offerings. And Lord, if there are people here who have withheld, Lord, may we make the difference. May we heed the conviction upon our heart. Lord, may the offering that was collected and the tithe that was collected, Lord, may go to the most important ministry. May it go to the reaching of people for your kingdom, for bringing people to you, Lord. Use this money. Give us wisdom. And Lord, as we have gathered it together, and if we have sung the song, may we praise you Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.
As you can see, we have a string ensemble in our church now. It's somewhere between infancy and childhood. It just started recently, and I'm just praising God that we have a string ensemble. Amen.
and happy Sabbath. Our scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of the blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Thank you and have a good Sabbath. May God bless his word. Amen.
Well, that was a blessing, wasn't it? You know, I'm just thankful that we have our children coming up here to read scripture every Sabbath. What a blessing that is. And that string ensemble is bigger than I thought it would be. I just cannot believe how quickly they learn. You know, I know my wife probably wouldn't want me to say this, but I think about a year or two ago, she had never touched a violin before. And I'm just blessed that I endured all the noise at home. Anyway, all right, it's communion today. I hope you are having communion already, that you're enjoying the communion, the fellowship with God and with one another. Communion, I'm going to keep this short, so hopefully by noon or so we'll be ready to dismiss. Communion is a time to remember. 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 25 says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." By the way, I'm reading from a different translation. This is the kind of like a New Living Translation, because you are so familiar with this passage. I want you to see it in a little different light. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." And then I think there's another slide here. In the same way, he took the cup of grape juice after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it." So here we have Jesus interpreting something old, something that was familiar to all his disciples, the Passover. The Passover was celebrated every year by the Jewish people, and they still do. Everything in the Jewish Passover is symbolic and is done to remember the suffering of the Jewish people and how God delivered them out of bondage and took them to the promised land. Now, they call the Passover meal the Seder dinner, or the Seder supper. And to this day, each Seder dinner in a Jewish family ends with the line, "Next year in Jerusalem." Now, of course, 2,000 years later, the Jews are still keeping the Seder dinner today, but 2,000 years ago, Jesus was celebrating Passover with his disciples when he took this Seder dinner to a new level. He interpreted something new. After all, the Seder, or Passover meal, with its slain lamb, was pointing to him. He fulfilled it, and so he led their minds and their hearts towards the fulfillment of the symbols of Passover. Now, Jesus began to use the bread and the cup to talk about remembering what he was about to do at the cross. Now, when Jesus broke the bread and held up the cup, and he referred to his broken body and the blood that he would shed, when he did that, he made a new covenant. And the Lord's Supper is a memorial meal. When we take communion, which we're going to be doing in a little moment, when we take communion, we're remembering how far God was willing to go to save us. We're remembering the beauty of God's love, and we're remembering the ugliness of sin, and how far Jesus was willing to go to rescue us from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin and from the presence of sin. Jesus went to Calvary and he died in our place for our sins that we might have eternal life. Now, I want us to pause for a moment and remembering our Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. In fact, let me give you 30 seconds to contemplate that very fact. As members of this church, as visitors to this church, what has Christ done for you? What we need to solemnly realize is that every time we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we reenact in our words and in our minds the death of our Lord Jesus. We're remembering. And you know what? We will be drawn back to this meal again and again until our Lord comes. Communion is not just about remembering the past. It's not just about looking back, but it's also about looking forward. And that brings us to the next verse, 1 Corinthians 11, 26, where it says, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." So this is really a reason for rejoicing, isn't it? There should be a spirit of rejoicing that accompanies the act of communion. We're celebrating and we're proclaiming his death and his power to change lives until he comes back. Now, while a Jew would say next year in Jerusalem, we can say next year with our Lord in the New Jerusalem. We look forward to the day when we can celebrate this act of communion with Jesus at the head of the table. Now, how were the Old Testament believers to celebrate the Passover meal? It says in Exodus 12, verse 11, "And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." In other words, don't eat it complacently. Be ready for action. Be ready for mission. This is not your home. You need to be a pilgrim and a sojourner until you enter the promised land when our Lord returns. Now, years ago, before fathers were allowed in delivery rooms, and that's quite a while ago, a young father-to-be was pacing back and forth, nervously wringing his hands in the hospital corridor and in the waiting room while his wife was in labor. And finally, a nurse opened the door and she said, "Well, sir, you have a little girl." And he said, "Oh, wow, that's great. I'm so glad it's a girl. She will never know the kind of agony I've been going through tonight." You know, he was rejoicing. We need to focus our rejoicing and make sure it's on the right thing. We rejoice in the act of communion today because we wait for the return of our risen Lord. That's a reason for rejoicing. We have Christ died for our sins, empowering our lives, living for him. We can look forward to the second coming of Jesus. So let's take a moment right now to reflect on our reasons for rejoicing and thanksgiving, and let us rejoice and give thanks. Communion is also a call to repent. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 and 28. "So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. Examine your motives. Communion allows us to examine ourselves. And if the Holy Spirit shines His light on a spirit of rebellion inside of you against God that makes you unworthy of the body and the blood of our Lord, then you have the opportunity to repent, opportunity to experience God's forgiveness and cleansing so that you can sincerely celebrate communion. Jesus died to save us from our sins, and we should be hating sin and forsaking sin and forsaking sinful ways. So don't come to the bread and the cup this morning with unconfessed sin in your life. Ask yourself some questions. Have I been walking with God this week? Have I acknowledged Him as the Lord of my life? Have I surrendered my life to Him? Or am I holding back part of my life for myself? Have I offended someone? Have I said things that need to be repented of? Have I done something that is clearly a violation of God's word? Have I refused to make peace with my neighbor? Do I have a clean conscience before God? Is there any hidden sin that only God knows? Then it's time, at this moment, you have an opportunity before our communion to confess to God and to remove whatever obstacle there is between you and Him, because He's more than willing to forgive when we come to Him with humble hearts. You know, when an aircraft flies from, let's say, New York to Los Angeles, or from Los Angeles to New York, did you know that it's off course 95% of the time? You see, the navigator is constantly making adjustments and corrections until the final moment when the plane lands exactly on target. There's a constant adjustment taking place. And God is calling you and I to daily search our own souls that we may be on track. Let's take a moment to reflect and repent of any carelessness on our part that has led to sin in our lives. First Corinthians 11, verse 29. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. Now, what this verse is saying is that if you give no thought, or worse yet, don't care about the broken body of the Lord when you eat and drink, then you're running the risk of serious consequences. It's called judgment here. Two types of carelessness comes to mind. One is a careless attitude towards the experience of communion. In other words, we're not taking it seriously. Another is a careless attitude towards the body of Christ. The body of Christ refers to the church. Do not participate in communion when you have something between you and another part of the body. If you are in conflict with someone, if you're in conflict with someone, or you need to make wrong something that you've done to someone else within the church body, don't even think about participating in this holy moment called communion until those unresolved conflicts have been corrected. James 5:16 encourages us to confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results, it says in this translation.
Now we need to spend a moment of reflection about our relationships with others. Is there someone that you need to ask to forgive you? Or is there someone that you need to forgive? You see, spiritual passion, if you will, cannot coexist with resentments. It just doesn't work. The scriptures are clear. The unforgiving spirit saps the energy that causes Christian growth and Christian effectiveness. And so as we come together today to celebrate the elements of communion, I'm going to ask you to consider taking time to talk to someone if necessary. If you have an issue with someone who is here and if you want to get it cleared up, now is a good time to do it. We're going to file out to our seats in a moment and participate in what we call the Ordinance of Humility or the foot washing service. That's a good time to make things right between yourself and God, as well as yourself and your neighbor. And then we'll come back here and participate in the communion meal. And so between now and the communion meal, I just want to challenge you and encourage you to give some thought as to whether you need to talk with someone to get things patched up. And what would be more beautiful and meaningful than when you come back in here into the sanctuary with someone that you have reconciled with? My friends, it's time to be real. We're not pretenders. It's about real. You know, the rubber meets the road. It's time to put on the overall and get to work and do the things that truly matter. The rituals are not meaningful unless we are real with God and real with our neighbor. Amen? So this is a solemn time for reconciliation between husbands and wives, between children and parents, other relationships, you name it. This is a time of reconciliation. So now the time has come for us to leave for the foot washing service, and I want to encourage every one of you to either participate or come and see what's happening in those rooms. And hopefully over time be able to participate, be willing to participate. So we want to invite you now to come and participate. We have open communion in our church. That means that those who have already accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, doesn't matter what church you've been part of, you're welcome to participate in communion. If you have not accepted the Lord as your Savior, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to prepare for baptism and to be part of God's body that way. Let us now meet back here, meet on every second row when we come back after our after the foot washing service. I probably need to mention the women will be meeting our fellowship hall. The men will be meeting in the music room, which is to our left, down the hallway to the left. And couples can meet in our library. Those are the three rooms we'll be meeting in. To song number 154. We are only going to sing one verse of number 154, the first verse at this time. Thank you.
At this time, one of our elders, Omari Chiari, will lead us in scripture regarding the bread, and he will also pray with us.
Going to read from the book of 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
As many as are able, you're welcome to kneel with us as we, as Omari prays.
Our kind and loving Father, we want to thank you, Father, for the example that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for your mercy and forgiveness. We want to thank you, Father, that we can come together as a church and partake in this communion service. May you be with each and every one of us. Send your Spirit, Father, to convict us in what we are struggling with. We ask for help. We ask for help, Father, in a special way, because you know what kind of times that we are living in right now. So have mercy on us. And convict us and fill us with your Spirit, Father, to show us how we can follow the Lamb, Father, wherever he goes. Be with us. In Jesus' name I do pray and believe. Amen.
There is a container in the middle that is gluten-free in case you're gluten intolerant. Is there anyone among us who have a testimony to bear related to what Christ has done for you? This is the time to share a testimony or two while the bread is being handed out. Any hands? There's one over there, Mark.
Communion's always a time for reflection, and as I've been looking back on my life, you know, I just want to thank God for being so persistent in my life. I did leave the church for almost 20 years, and he didn't give up on me, and I truly appreciate and thank him for that.
Amen. Paula.
I'm really thankful that many, many years ago, it was probably between 35 and 40 years ago, I walked into the doors of a Seventh-day Adventist church the night that they presented the Sabbath, and that was the first night I'd walked in. And I remember after that, it wasn't too long when they had their first communion service, and people felt really awkward about the foot washing. And I had been introduced to that in another church around the time of Easter. And I remember thinking how precious it was, and today it was that kind of experience, how precious it is that we can wash one another's feet, and we can pray together, and we live in a land that we can do that. And I'm really thankful today that we practice this, that we're reminded not to let things go so long.
Amen. Amen. Is there one more?
I'm going to praise the Lord for for just his greatness. I want to praise him for the message that was delivered today. And more specifically, the aspect of the message that that calls us to really examine our hearts and even to make sure that things are right between us and others, particularly within the body. That's something that I've been praying about for months for our church family, and more specifically for me, because I just feel like for the time, the hours in which we're living in, it's so easy just to kind of walk past each other and ignore things that are really there underneath. But for where we are in Earth's history, the time demands that all be right, not only between us and our Savior, but us and one another. And in fact, if things are not right between us and one another, things are really not right between us and God. And so I really praise God for that call. And I pray that call will continue, and that even though it's uncomfortable, it's not easy. I know my own personal plea is, Lord, it's very uncomfortable. It's very difficult. But I know that right here within the body that there are things that just need to be what God would have to be. And I believe that we will skyrocket in terms of ministry, in terms of being able to witness to the community. And I think it will make a difference on all fronts, our families, our home, I mean, our church family and our community. And so Amen. I praise God for that.
Amen. Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. At this time, another one of our elders, Elder Byrol, will be leading us in scripture and in prayer again.
We'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. After the same manner, he also took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
Amen. If you can kneel, please kneel with us at this time.
Heavenly Father, as we come before you, and in your presence are about to drink of the fruit of the vine, we recognize that you are the vine and that we are the branches, and that upon the cross at Calvary, you shed your blood for the remission of our sins, so that we may not have death, but that we may have eternal life through you. Lord, I praise you And thank you for that wonderful gift you have given us. And pray that we do not take it for granted, the blood that you have shed for us, that cleanses us from all sins. Lord, we ask that you bless this symbol, this grape juice, that is symbolic of your deliverance for us. Lord, and we also, as pastor's message, as we drink of it, we also look forward to you coming again. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Well, we have time for a few more testimonies. Anyone who would like to share what Christ has done for you? Let's see your hands. I know there are many here who could share about that. There is one I cannot see. Minnie, go ahead.
Yes, I can echo Paula's prayer when she, 30, 40 years ago, when I walked through these doors, I didn't know anything about Seventh-day Adventists, but then I met Dr. Bryant and his wife, and I went to a lot of series and studies and just through Pastor McIntosh, and it was just a blessing, and I've been blessed by this church. I've been blessed by the people that I have come in contact with, and then all the prayers and, you know, just God just giving me the Holy Spirit to go move on, you know, the way he wants me to move. And it's just been blessed with the ministry of God, the Lord Pantry. It just such been a blessing, and he's going to continue blessing this ministry, all the ministry that he have in store for this church. And
Amen. And
I just pray that everyone will just feel a blessing that the Lord have for us as we minister to the peoples out, you know, out in this world, the community, and it's just a blessing. So let's pray about being ministry of all these ministries that in our church, and let's praise the Lord that we do have
Amen.
This.
Do we have one more?
Back here.
Oh, there's one in the back. Go ahead.
I'm Justin. Today is a special day and excited day, and today is the best day of my life, and God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Marcelina. I appreciate that, your testimony. She's a student in our school across the street here, across the parking lot. We have one more back here. You have one more in the back?
Yeah.
Okay, that would be our last one.
I want to thank and praise God for the testimonies. I've had these testimonies laying on my shelf, collecting dust. And after Pastor said to read the testimonies, I've been reading the testimonies. And I'm so thankful for God and his mercies. Because in those testimonies, it points the finger to Josephine to see her spots. And if I don't read those testimonies, I can't see my spots. So I just thank God for showing me myself, little filthy Josephine. So pray for me that I will be live up to all that the Lord want me to live up to.
Amen. Amen. And now, go ahead.
I'm Johanna, and I love Jesus with all my heart.
Amen.
In my soul.
Thank you. Thank you.
If, I love you, ma'am.
Amen. If there are any other testimonies, this is to be continued Wednesday night at our prayer meeting. We invite you back then. Thank you. So Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And when they had participated in the communion meal, the next thing was they sang some songs together. Prior to Christ's arrest and crucifixion, they were praising God. I want us to stand up at this time and sing our closing song, number 511, "I Know Whom I Have Believed."